Good morning. It's good to be with you. I'm Dan Moose, go by Moose, and I'm one of the members. My wife Cheryl and I have been members here for must have been 5-6 years, and I get to work with this North Central District, which of the Evangelical Free Church, of which we are a part of as the Antioch Church, and just thank you for the privilege to share with you today. Also, we get to start a series. If you were with us the first Sunday in January, we preached on prayer. And what we're starting now is a 6-week series on the Lord's Prayer, our Father's character, our Father's kingdom, our Father's provision, our Father's forgiveness, our Father's guidance, and our Father's protection. And as we get into this series in prayer, we'll have 3 or 4 other people speak into that too. As I was thinking about starting the series this week, the events of this week, from the George Floyd's death to the protests and into the riots and the looting, they've been so heartbreaking and soul-wrenching. It made me emotionally numb and it almost to the place of emotionally paralyzing me. And it made me wonder, well, should we start a series on prayer? Or should we go somewhere else? But with all the heartache, all the brokenness, the anger and destruction, all I could see was hopelessness. And if we're dealing with hopelessness, where can we go but to our God? I know our Father God is the only one who is true and the only real lasting hope. I know our Father God is the only one who can transform lives so that he can minister and bring the change that we need, the justice we need. So we need to start the series. We need to focus on our Father God and how we communicate and connect with him so that we can bring hope, not only in our own lives, but bring hope to those around us. Let's pray as we get into this sermon today. Father God, we just stop right now and say, Lord, we come as people who are hurting, who are struggling, who are looking around and wondering why, what. We see so much brokenness, and it just breaks our heart as it does yours. And Father, I pray today that as we would come and focus on you, Father God, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would bring hope, that you would give us strength, and that you would minister to our inner persons so, Lord, that we could live out of the overflow of our relationship with you. Lord, use this time in your word to transform us. We want to be changed. Father, use these words you've placed on my heart and mind, however you can, to strengthen your body of believers here in our midst. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we talk about prayer, what is the purpose of prayer? I believe the purpose of prayer is to see our Father's face. That's that intimacy in prayer where we get to see God as he really is, and we get to see him and he gets to pour his love on us. There's nothing more beautiful than a mother with a newborn child and just the look of their in their face and seeing their face. And that's our privilege with our Father in prayer. The purpose is that we might be in that close, intimate relationship. Why? So that we might receive his mercy and grace so that we can be who we need to be. Because it says that we can confidently approach the God approach God's throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We have real need right now. Why? So that we can live in his peace and his joy to bring glory to his name. So the purpose of prayer is to see the Father's face so that we may receive his grace and mercy so that we can live in peace and his peace and joy to bring glory to his name. And that is why we need to really focus on prayer. But If that's the purpose of prayer, why do we struggle with prayer? Why is it so hard and why is it so tedious? Sure, it's a spiritual battle, but maybe another reason is for many of us, God has become too commonplace. We don't see who he really is. He's not big enough to do much. And you can almost, as you know, as we go through this week here, we can almost start to feel a little hopeless because we're saying, really, God? What are you doing? I love that first song. Even we don't feel like he's working, he's still working. I think another reason, though, that we may have struggle in our prayer life is because we've lost the freshness of a relationship with him. If you remember back when you first came to know Christ through God through Jesus Christ, there was a wow factor. You couldn't wait to talk to him. You couldn't wait to read the word. And there was that wow factor. Have we lost that? How do we come back to that? I'm trusting that as we go through this series on the Lord's Prayer, really, Lord, teach us to pray, that God will help us be refreshed in that and be rebuilt in that. Let us turn in the Bible to Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15, and we'll read those today. We're only going to deal with one verse today, but we'll read that passage. Matthew 6, 9 through 15. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sin. Today, we want to look at just one verse. We're going to look at verse 9. And as we look at verse 9, it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Did you notice something there? He didn't say this is what you should pray. He said this is how you should pray. So Jesus is turning to his disciples because they've asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he's saying, this is how you should pray. In other words, here's the key principles. And we're going to start looking at a principle each week for the next 6 weeks. Our first one is our Father's character. And as we see that, we look at the rest of that verse and it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That points us to the character of our God. But let's understand that a little better. You notice the first part, our Father in heaven. And we take that just so easy, our Father in heaven. But stop and think with me about the disciples. This would have boggled their mind. Remember, the disciples were Jews. And the Jew was afraid to call God by name because they might misspeak it. And so Jesus turns to them and says, say, our Father. Wow. Something new, because they had to realize that it's our Father. There's a relationship. There's that father-child, father-son relationship. But also Jesus was saying, my Father is your Father. And they would have started to understand a wonderful relationship. God is different than we thought he was. God wants to be in a relationship with us. And he wants to be in that right relationship, that we can have the right relationship with our Creator God. And also the disciples could have understood it as, wow, we're brothers with Christ. And we can go into the presence of God. And then also as our Father, it's all the brothers and sisters in Christ everywhere. Every follower of God through Jesus Christ can say, our Father. But you notice there's a catch there also, though. It's only those who can know Jesus Christ, know God through Jesus Christ, can say our Father. In other words, unless you are in that restored relationship with God, you're not a child of God. And you can't honestly say our Father. But if you're there today, I want to encourage you to stop and think about it. Do you want to be in a relationship with your Father God? You can. Because all you need to do is place your trust in Jesus Christ, ask him for forgiveness of sins, and repent and say, I want to be made new in you, Jesus. And you'll have the gospel and the work of Jesus Christ applied to your life, and you will become a child of God. And then you can say, our Father God. But you notice it's not just our Father. It's our Father who is in heaven. And for them, as they understood heaven, they would have understood that that sets apart God. You're totally other. You're God who's in heaven. You're our creator. It brings out your power. It brings out the idea that you are the sustainer and all powerful. There's nothing that can frustrate you. And in your being totally other, we come to you and we're saying, you're our Father who's in heaven. Do you see the wow factor this would have brought to the disciples? They had the privilege to speak to the God of their all their people, because they've always talked about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This now is who? Their father. Dad. And they had that privilege. And also, as they talked about him, it brought them in the idea of knowing his love and his power was caring for them. But the title doesn't stop there. It goes on, and the verse continues and says, hallowed be thy name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The Greek word that's translated hallowed is translated from the root word of holy. So the idea there is that we want you, God, to be set apart and holy in our lives. We set you apart, and because we want to have that proper reverence, that proper respect, and that place of respect in our lives. So our Father God, who is set apart. But do you see the next part, that whole hallowed be what? Your name. Why name? Why not God? Well, if you look in the Hebrew, when it talks about name, it means the nature, the character, and the personality of a person. If you see in Psalms 9:10, it says, those who know your name put their trust in you, God. Another one that's a little clearer even is Psalms 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. It's not just God. What they're trusting in is the nature, the character, and the personality of God. And so we start to see that what they're praying, Jesus teaching them to pray, is pray our Father, who has a unique place in our lives, which your nature and your character deserve and demand. Let me say that again. Really, when we address God in the Lord's Prayer, we're saying, our Father, who has the unique place in our life, which your nature and character deserves and demand. Wow. But how do we get there, folks? Because I don't know about you, but God sometimes is pretty commonplace. God, at times, I just kind of wonder. But I think how do we understand that? How do we focus on the nature and the character and the personality of God? I think probably one of the best ways would be if we would do a little study on who God is. In fact, in Psalms 27:4, David says, one thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all days of my life. And this is the part I want us to focus on, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Whoa. Folks, what's the beauty of the Lord? What's the beauty of God that we need to focus on so that we would let God have his unique place in our lives, which his nature and character deserve and demand? Well, I think the way for me, and I'm kind of simple, but the way for me is maybe we need to start making a list of his nature and of his character. What is some of the nature? Well, he's spirit. So being spirit, God's everywhere. There's nowhere where I'm not around him. Wow. But also part of God's nature is he's invisible, so we can't see him, which in one way we say, but in the other way it's good because we don't know exactly what he's like. And so we're not just going to worship an image of him. We need to worship the whole of God. But also in his nature, he's eternal. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Or as I like to say, God's always in the eternal now. It's never yesterday for him. It's never tomorrow for him. God's always in the now. And we need to realize that that's God's nature. And if that's who God is, then we start to see God becoming bigger. But more than that, if we really want to make sure that he has that unique place in our lives, which his nature and character deserves, let's look at some of his characteristics. Always present, everywhere present. All-knowing, wise, truthful, faithful, good, holy, loving, gracious, merciful, forgiving, righteous, just, jealous, wrathful towards sin, all-powerful. There's nothing that can frustrate God. Even what we've gone through in this last week here in Minneapolis has not frustrated God, because God has said he's going to take the ashes and turn them into something beautiful. And that's what he's always done with sinful man as we repent and come back to him. He's sovereign, he's perfect, and he's beautiful. But you say, well, Dan, you just made a big list for us. But you know what I want you to do? I want you to make your own list, and then I want you to start wallowing in it. You know what it means to wallow in the mud? When we were little kids, we had a creek that went down through the back part of our farm, and whenever we could get away, we'd go play in the mud. And Mom would get upset with us because we'd always be dirty, but we'd wallow in it. You know, get that all over you. I want us to start to wallow in the characters of God. For example, let's look at holy just for a moment. As I think of holy, it automatically takes me to Isaiah 6. And Isaiah 6, if you would go there, the first part of that, 6, 1 through 8, and I won't read the whole thing, but in Isaiah 6, it talks about when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he was seated on the throne, and it says the train of his robe filled the temple, and above him were the seraphs and the angels who were there. With two wings they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another. Here it is, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of your glory. And at the sound of their voice, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Do you see? Can you start to see the holiness of God being totally separate, being completely perfect, being morally right in all ways? And because of his holiness, even the words came out. It says, the thresholds shook. The temple was filled with the smoke. And it says, Isaiah says, because I saw God high and lifted up, he said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. And then God, in his love, sends the seraph to take a coal from the altar to touch his lips, so he purifies him. Wow, all of a sudden, yeah, you see the holiness of God. Then you see the love of God. And then you see the mercy and grace so that we might be forgiven. And then what do you see at the end? As you look at verse 8, then you hear the voice of God saying, who shall send me and who will go with us? And Isaiah says, here am I, sent me. So do you see what God did? God did in Isaiah's life as he saw his holiness and as he really wallowed in, he lived in that for a while. He could see who he was, but he also saw who God could make him. And God sends him out. And so again, as you start to look through that and focus on it, then you can say, our Father God, who has this unique place in our lives, which you desire, your nature and your character deserve and demand. And see, as you start to see God for who he is, I think your prayer life is going to become different because there's going to be excitement, because you're going to want to spend time with God, because there's going to be excitement to see what God does. There's also going to be anticipation. There's also going to be times where you need to come and repent. But again, we see that's our Father God. So as you and I start to think about our prayer, one thing in our prayer life, we should be saying, our Father, God, who has this unique place in our lives, which your nature and character deserves and demand, I come. How's that going to work out? Here's the thoughts to ponder. Is God your Father in heaven? Do you know without a doubt, yes, He is? Are you in that right relationship with Him through the work and life of Jesus Christ today? I pray that you are. And if not, as I said earlier, this is a good time to place your trust in God. Because remember, He wants to take you where you're at, and He wants to forgive you of all your past sins. He wants to make you new. He wants to bring you in and make you a child of His through Jesus Christ. And then you can say, our Father. But also, as you're thinking about that, another thought to ponder is, what steps do you need to take to give our Father the unique place which His nature and character deserves and demands in your life? What's something you need to start doing this week? And it may be just making a list and starting to wallow in it. I have a friend that I'm working with, a young Christian, and he's just so much fun. The other day, we were working through the characters of God. And as we're walking through that, he's reading and we're working through a book on it. And he, all of a sudden, you see, wow. And the more we talk, you see him just get excited. And I stopped and I looked at my own life and I says, boy, Moose, I wish I could get excited about the character of God like that. And I'd pray that's what we do, because as we start to see God as He really is, as we take time to focus on that and see His beauty and focus on His beauty, we're going to be encouraged and our hearts are going to be strengthened. And the last thing I'd like you to ponder is, how will you keep your relationship with our Father God fresh and vibrant? I know in my marriage there's times that you just get to going through life. Maybe some of you have that in your life too. We go through our life and we're just going through life and it gets ho-hum. Boy, that's not good. But the worst part is our Father God we do the same with. So what do I need to be doing? What do you need to be doing that will help us to stay in that relationship that will keep it alive and fresh? As we focus on our Father God, I would ask us as we close today in prayer to do two things. Number one, I want us to focus on just what we've talked about here with God. What do you need to really, what business do you need to do to make sure that you're living that with God and you're renewed in that? But then I want us to take a second part of our prayer time today is to really pray for our city, pray for the crisis we're in, pray for our brothers and sisters, specifically the ones that are really being beaten down through some of this and hurt. And I would ask that we'd pray for them and pray for a peace. But then ultimately, I want us to pray for us that we might be the hands, the feet, and the voice of our Savior to those people. And as one of my brothers in Christ shared with me this last week, he says, Moose, I ask him, what are you specifically needing us to do as Christian brothers? He says, don't go incognito. In other words, don't walk away from us. Stay with us as we walk through this together. So let's take a time right now where, first of all, let's spend a little time in this prayer time for ourselves. We're going to have probably a minute here, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, where I'm going to give a silent time of prayer on the tape. But then as you pray that, then let's also shift into praying and letting weeping for the nation, and the nation really for a city, but we're starting to see it spread to the whole nation, that God might do a work and that we might be part of that work. Let's go to our God in prayer. Father God, we do thank you that you give us the privilege to call you our Father and that we are in that relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't deserve it. It was all grace and mercy. And Father, we pray that as we focus on who you are, your character, Lord, that we would come into a more vibrant, vital relationship with you. And not only with you, but with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, we do want to see you high and lifted up. We do want to see your holiness. We do want to see your love. We do want to see you intervening in miraculous ways, which we know you can, will, and do. And Father, we would just pray that you would be doing that in our lives. But also, Lord, today our hearts break because of what's happening in our city. We pray today, Father, for the family of George Floyd and ask for you to bring comfort and minister the depths of their hearts. But we pray also for anyone else whose heart is broken because of the injustice. And Lord, even as all of our hearts are broken, we pray for those who are directly affected by that. And we would ask, Lord, that you might bring a comfort and you might bring a peace. We do pray, Father, that you'd bring real peace to our city. We pray that you bring calm, and we pray, Father God, that we could stay focused on the real issues and not the other issues that we need to. We pray for our leadership, that, Lord, that our governor and our mayor and them would you give them wisdom and discernment in how to lead in this time. And, Father, we just ask that you might work in a mighty way. Also, Father, we pray that you might bring renewal and revival to our cities. And we pray, Lord, that your spirit be moving ahead. We pray for our brothers and sisters and the churches that are being directly affected by this downtown. We ask that you would really guide and direct them and work in them and through them. We pray also, Father, that you would be using us. And Lord, that we might be the hands, we might be your feet, and we might be your voice. Lord, lead us. Lord, bring peace, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One passage I want to share with you as we just close here. It's Isaiah 61. It's a verse, it's a passage that Jesus used as he was in the synagogue. And he said this, and I think this is very applicable today to how God wants to work through us. It said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Folks, that's what he called us to. That's our Lord's calling. But remember, he's handed it off to us now. Let's go and speak in the name of Jesus. Not only speak, but let's live it out so that the world will see Jesus in us. God bless you.